From London this summer came a theory that put the creativity of young scientists in a new, if not terribly ennobling, light. What drives young scientists to map the genome or discover subatomic particles? Well, according to evolutionary psychologist Satoshi Kanazawa, it is neither youthful altruism nor curiosity. What young male scientists have in common with so many other young males is the desire to attract females. Satoshi Kanazawa theorized that once the creative scientist catches his prey and gets married, he starts slacking, hence the relative youth of so many scientists at the age of their breakthrough work. Dr. Kanazawa joins us from London, where he's a lecturer at the London School of Economics. And Satoshi Kanazawa, what did you find to back up this theory of what accounts for the creativity of young scientists?
Well, what I did was to study the biographies of 280 scientists, physicists, chemists, biologists, and mathematicians, and I tracked the age at which they made the greatest contribution to science or mathematics. And I plotted the age at their greatest achievement, and it turns out that it happens usually in late 20s and early 30s, just like when the criminals do most of their crimes.
So what motivates the young criminal who is more apt to rob and steal in his 20s is the same thing that motivates the young scientist, makes him more apt to hang in the laboratory and think creative thoughts?
That is my contention, although I have to emphasize that the motive is clearly unconscious. Scientists and criminals don't think alike. It's not their conscious desire to attract mates. It's just that unconsciously that's what they're motivated by.
Now, I read about your study in the Ideas section of the Boston Globe, which cited some critics of your theory, and I'd like to hear what you say in response. One said that older scientists are older academics, and older academics get sucked into administration and committee work and sucked out of the laboratories. That's why they're less productive.
Well, that would be true of all late 20th to early 21st century scientists, but you have to remember that my data included scientists from 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries when I didn't think there were any committees or university duties back then.
The Globe also quoted psychologist Dean Keith Simonton, whose own research finds that scientists typically produce their first breakthrough in their 20s, but they also do more work in their 30s and 40s and then some more in their 50s. But he says you didn't control for life expectancy, so you end up counting a scientist who died young as being unproductive in his 50s, and that's wrong.
Yes, I do admit that's not the greatest data in the world, but I was just trying out the idea that I had that men of all stripes and kinds are motivated by the same desire.
We were all thinking about this today, thinking about your theory, and some people said, well, that sounds accurate because, for example, Einstein was only, I think, 26 when he published all of his breakthrough work in 1905. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, other people said, well, look, he was already married at that time. He'd gotten married when he was 24. So does that support the rule or does it argue against the rule?
Well, in my data, typically there's about a 2.5-year gap between the greatest achievement and marriage. So on average, scientists tend to make their greatest contribution about 2.5 years after they get married. And it's because you have to start early, and scientific productivity is an outcome of cumulative effort. It doesn't happen overnight. So the fact that he produced the greatest paper 2 years after he got married means that he started long before he got married.
What then do we make of people in other disciplines who may be philosophers or, for that matter, historians whose work requires a great deal of energy and intellectual rigor and may very often publish a great book after the age of 50 or even after the age of 60?
I don't deny there are exceptions. Just like there are career criminals, there are a small number of scientists who keep publishing great work throughout their lives. Just like most men commit their crimes in their early adulthood and then desist, most scientists tend to do their greatest work earlier in their careers and then desist.
Are you married, by the way, Dr. Kanazawa?
Yes, I am.
And how do you see your own career here as a research psychologist squaring with your thoughts about marriage? Are you over the hill because you're married, for example?
I cannot predict the future, but I'm hoping that I'm a career criminal in science. But we'll have to see.
Satoshi Kanazawa, lecturer of management and research methodology at the London School of Economics, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.